When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is it foot focused?
Yeah, Jack, you're focused there. You look good.
You know, I have pretty good eyesight, and by pretty good, I have 20/20.
Okay.
I don't have any need for
spectacles.
Glasses.
Are you coming after me?
And she's never had braces.
Never had braces.
Oh, wow. So you're just like one of those.
I'm just a little bit perfect.
Oh, wow.
Must be nice. I don't know. Sometimes I don't believe when people say they actually have 20/20 vision. Like, usually it's not that good. I probably have better vision than you.
Well, you got LASIK.
But you got LASIK.
Correct. But like, sometimes.
I would honestly challenge you in a see off because that's how confident I am in my eyesight.
But Patricia, she has perfect vision. But I'll be like, what does that street sign say? And she's like, I don't know.
Well, guess what? I've never said I don't know to that question.
Wow.
Okay, we'll have a see off. We'll have a see off for sure.
If there's one thing I'm confident in, it's these.
So are you.
Perfect.
Focused.
Okay, crystal clear. You're going to watch this back. I'm like so blurred out.
Okay, this is the first time, though, you've ever been on a podcast.
Correct.
And who are you for the people watching and listening?
Oh, hello. Hello. You know that TikTok trend where like people put a speaker somewhere and it's a deep, never mind.
Oh, yeah, I kind of, I
and
know.
It scares you. Wow. All right. Didn't know it's with a bunch of boomers. yes. I'm Jack Anderson. I date Scotty Sire. But I knew you before.
Way before. I even think I knew you before you even knew Scott.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I honestly knew a bunch of you guys before I'd ever met Scott.
Yeah. Because you're not Scott's girlfriend on this episode. Okay. You are Jack Anderson.
That's what I was so excited about when you texted me. I was like, oh. This is the perfect podcast for me to do my debut into podcasting.
Oh, well, there we go.
Because I just knew it was going to be so comfortable. Me and you, I feel we have a lot of similarities.
A lot.
Both blonde, tall.
Yes.
What else?
I mean, just I feel we...
We have very similar energies in the way we know how to... We know how to really keep a room vibing in a way.
I totally agree.
You're a very courteous conversationalist, if that makes sense.
I try to be.
Like, explain.
A big thing is like when I brought Patricia around, you know, I was so nervous. Like, are people going to be nice to her? Are people going to be interested? Are people going to ask her questions? Jack, right off the bat, like made her feel at home. It was so great. You're like the perfect wing friend. Whenever you're bringing somebody new into the group, you make them feel acknowledged and loved and accepted.
Well, I just love meeting new people and talking to new people because 95% of the time it's going to go great and you're going to learn new things about someone. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, sometimes
5% you might get a weirdo, but
yeah, but I think conversations with people for the first time are easier than conversations with people you've known for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's all the basics. Where are you from? What do you do? All of that I really do like.
Especially when you like have to pull teeth to talk to someone that you know that isn't so social, because I feel everyone can be super social in first interactions and then eventually they kind of are like, oh no, I'm more shy. Whereas first time you meet them, it's just very basic questions.
Yeah.
So it's so easy to talking.
When I first met you, I felt like I had known you for a long time. Now, do you remember when we first met? Cause I think I remember when we first met, but I remember when we first like kind of bonded.
Okay, what are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the time we were at David's, and it was like an after party thing after a pretty crazy night. I had been drinking a lot, and you were there, and everyone was kind of dancing, and then you and me started like swing dancing.
Swing dancing, yep. We have a video of it. We literally swing dancing.
Like Texas, like square dancing?
I mean, we did the old-fashioned movement. No, like the Texas two-step. I'm talking about like Jack behind my back. And then doing the full swing.
Like we were in Greece.
Oh, wow.
Greece lightning. Not the country.
You can't just do this on the fly. You have to have practiced this
before. A big move. And like I had just kind of met you.
Yeah.
And then after we kind of started like fighting. Not like out of an argument, but you and me were like wrestling.
Why?
Do you remember this?
No.
No, after we kind of started like we were doing kind of like a stage combat.
Oh, I remember we were putting on an entire performance.
And kind of freaking people. We were kind of freaking people out
at
the party.
Was it like everyone was like kind of hanging, having a good time, just like, you know, drinking, and then you guys were like, "Let's do this." And
yeah.
Everyone's just kind of standing around like
uh-huh. Were we doing like the "I can't believe you'd say that to me" type of thing and be like, boom.
And I'm like doing like the you hit your chest like when you throw a punch and you were like,
I was like, "You smacked me."
Oh my God, I'm so glad I was not there.
You Mike would have been like, "No."
Yeah.
No. Both of you, no.
But we had some good chemistry though, like in terms of dancing and fake fighting. And I even remember after it, Natalie was like, "You and that girl were really hitting it off." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. I mean, I don't know much about her." And then Natalie, okay, this is in the past. Natalie was like, "You know what? You should date her." And this is when I was kind of like newly single.
Oh, wow.
I was like looking for somebody. You know, I was in the market. And Natalie proposed that I should pursue dating you before, obviously, all this Scott stuff. But I was like, "No way. I don't know. I don't know if I could be on your level."
I feel like we really just like... Not to sound like I friend zoned you, but I feel like we really just like clicked and we're like, "Oh, we're gonna be pals."
Yes,
you figured out what the relationship was immediately.
There was no because dancing. Then I remember another time at David's for an after party. It was one of the first times you brought Patricia around, but I don't think you were dating yet.
No.
I think you had just brought her, and you were like, "Jack, I really like her. I'm really nervous." And I was like, "She's so pretty. I'm going to go talk to her."
And that was the affirmation I needed. If Jack approved, then like, you know that you really found a good egg.
And I bet you probably made Patricia feel super welcome too.
Well, I hope. But she's such a delight. I've told you this so many times. I freaking love Patricia.
A delight.
She is.
That's a great turn of phrase.
A delight.
So you guys, pardon the expression here, but you guys really didn't dance around the relationship. You kind of knew what it was from the beginning.
Oh yeah, we did.
Sorry, that was a rough one. No, that was a rough one.
I love it.
Okay, so Jack, let's dive into like who you are, where you're from.
Oh right,
you're from Long Island,
Staten Island, Long Island,
Long Island.
I know.
How far down Long Island did you live and grow up?
I actually lived really close to the city, so I was on the west side of the island. So I'm like a 45-minute drive to the city.
Okay,
I'd go into the city for an internship in college.
Did you ever sneak away there when you were younger? Like, "Oh, I'm just going over to Rebecca's house," and you guys would just like hop on the train and take it to Manhattan.
I wish. I was such a good egg. I did no wrong. Like, the worst fight my mom and I ever had was, okay, two worst fights was one, me not cleaning my room.
Mm.
And then two, one time I got really drunk and my friends texted my mom saying, "Hey, mom, I'm just going to sleep here tonight." And my mom always said, "If you're gonna sleep over someone's house, you better call me to tell me."
Oh.
So when I texted, she knew it wasn't me.
Yeah, she's like, she doesn't use this perfect of grammar and exclamation points.
So she came and picked me up, and I had 7 a.m. driver's ed the next morning, and she made me go, which, looking back, don't know how safe that was.
Right, because you probably still had alcohol in your system.
Luckily,
during your driver's test.
I had a two and a half hour class before the driving part. So I think by then I was fine.
You had your good come down. And did you pass
your
driver's test?
I did.
With flying colors.
Not flying colors. I pulled up a little too far under a traffic light. And that was the only points I got off.
Oh.
But I'll never forget that because it scarred me.
I got my driver's ed or my driver's license through Sears. We would go to the mall. And at Sears, you know, like Sears.
It's
like
the most Texas thing I've ever heard in my life.
Sears had a driving academy when I was younger, and we would go and take classes at the mall in the back of Sears, like past, like, I don't know, the men's.
You took driving lessons to get your license?
Yeah.
Yeah, like driver's ed.
You had to go to driver's school. What, did you do self-taught, or did they teach you at, like, Hebrew school?
Well,
you get your permit, and then you have to go to driver's ed, where you go into the classroom and you learn all the technicalities.
I didn't have to do that. In New Jersey, I think they just, like, you just take the test and then you get your license.
Who trained you?
Yeah, you had
Nobody.
To take some exams and courses.
No, I mean, in high school, there was a driver's ed class, but it was, like, part of your regular curriculum. It wasn't, like, an extra thing. It was in high school.
And did you take that class?
Yeah, but I think it was, like, a one-hour class. I don't think it was, like, a long-term.
I think then that was your class
but
then.
But it was a one-time class.
What?
This was weeks. I had to go after school for like 2 weeks.
You had to study on your own, and like my dad taught me how to drive.
Oh, so you did kind of a self-taught thing.
I guess. But no one, I don't think anybody went to driver's ed as like a SAT prep or something. Like it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got accused of cheating during my driver's test, though.
Did you?
Not the driving part, but we were taking the exam and everyone had their heads down and I had like my Scantron and my test sheet and I would look over and I would Scantron and they're like, guys, keep your eyes on your paper. And I was like, oh, someone's getting in trouble. And I kept like doing it. And he goes, I said, keep your eyes on your paper. And I'm like, damn, someone is cheating right
someone
now.
Someone is ruthless.
And the guy goes, tall, skinny guy up at the front with the hat. He goes, keep your eyes on your paper. And I'm like, I'm just looking at the test. I was not cheating. And it embarrassed me in front of the entire class.
Yikes.
But you were a good kid.
Yeah.
You had friends in all parts of the school.
Yes. So this is a fun fact.
Sorry, was that a stupid way of phrasing
it? All the parts
of the school.
Yeah, the science department.
I feel like we were pretty like similar people in high school. We knew all the social groups. We blended in.
So... fun fact is I was homecoming queen.
Whoa, really?
I know, you're amongst royalty.
Hey, I was homecoming prince.
Really?
2 years in a row, but I couldn't win king. Prince was if you were like freshman, sophomore, junior, mm-hmm. and then king and queen were seniors. People just didn't like the idea of Matt King being king.
The king?
Yeah.
They kind of give you too much royalty.
Yeah, it looked bad on paper. So but you were homecoming queen?
Yes, but not because I was the most popular in school. It was because I was the most social in school. So as you were just saying, I was friends with the very popular kids. Like that was my friend group, but I was not like the number one. Other girls who were nominated for Homecoming Queen were definitely more popular than me, but they kind of stuck to their own group. I was in the band, so I had all of the band friends. I did sports, so I had the sports friends. I did theater, so I had the theater friends. I did after school club, so I had those friends. So I had just so many friends. I'll never forget, all of the seniors had to go to the auditorium, and they're like, here's the paper with the five names of the homecoming queen nominees, whoever you want, you check their name. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm on the list. And I turn around and I had like five of my guy friends from band look at me and go, you got this. And I was like, I think I really might, because none of the other girls are getting those votes and all the other random votes. And sure enough.
And you won.
I won.
Now, did they announce it like at the football game?
At the pep rally.
The pep rally?
Yeah.
Yep. And then that's kind of like a nerve-wracking moment. You feel like you're like on American Idol.
You are. You're standing there, you're like
and it's
it
in front of like people that you're friends with. So the people who lose have to go and face their friend group of like, huh, you didn't vote for me, huh?
Yeah.
Guess we didn't spread the word enough.
Yeah.
But did you campaign for it?
No, you can't. It's not like student office, like election.
It's not like I feel in movies. It's not like that. It was literally like you check someone's name off. And like, I didn't know I was nominated until I got the paper that said I was nominated.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
you didn't do any campaigning?
No, none. But I was just very social. So I guess it is campaigning in itself. But because I was in the band, then at the homecoming game... I had to sit in the pep band with my trumpet, by the way. That's the instrument.
I was going to ask, tuba, xylophone, what was your...
Trumpet.
Trumpet.
And I had to sit there with my crown and sash on. And I bet you the other school was like, that's the homecoming queen.
Yeah, it's
she's in
like,
the band.
It's like the anti-Taylor Swift fantasy. It's like that you...
I was both.
She's also in the band with me, and she's pretty, and she's the homecoming queen. Like, that's just like a funny picture.
I checked all the boxes, or at least tried to.
And you played trumpet while you were wearing your homecoming queen crown.
Yep. Yep, I did.
And the uniform, the band uniform?
Yeah. And so they announced, like, I think at halftime, the homecoming king played football, naturally. And then they were like, okay, and our homecoming king and homecoming queen. And they announced my name. And literally, I had to stand up. I was, like, dead center in the middle of the band, too. And I was like... Hey.
Oh, you didn't like scoot out like between your band members like, sorry, did I hit your tuba? Oh my God, you didn't have to like go out to the middle. They kept you in
all I had to do was just
stand. They walked us down the field with our parents and stuff in Texas.
I don't know,
that was very Friday Night Lights of Texas to do that. Like, you had to have your parents out on the field with you.
Damn, you guys really were the popular kids.
We sure
I didn't even go to prom.
What?
I went to 8.
Oh, you got around.
No, no, I know. That sounds
eight.
Terrible.
Hold on. How many schools were in your district? And then you can only go to prom if you're a senior,
or
right?
Or junior no. prom. There's junior prom and senior prom.
There's junior prom and senior prom, and you can go to any of the proms if you're a freshman.
You went to eight?
Yes. And so I know that sounds like, whoa, Jack. Uh-huh. Because I am so social. Like, people just knew I would be like an easy date. So when I was a freshman, I got invited to junior prom because my friend who invited me, he was like, oh, I just know I'm not going to have to babysit you all night. Like, you'll be fun and you'll be able to dance around and right. talk to people. And so that's basically what happened for all 4 years of my high school.
You did a couple like charity prom dates.
No.
I
had so much fun. All my dates were either like, it was either my, because I went to prom, I think only twice with an actual boyfriend. And then all the other ones were like my friends.
Right. But sometimes I feel like I had friends, I remember, that would like go to prom with like their cousin's friend or something in another school because like they didn't have a date. Yeah. And then like, it's like a good thing to do. It takes a lot of pressure out of like finding a prom date. It's like you're doing it as a favor almost, but it sounds like you were even a step beyond that and you were just.
I was like that in college. I went on tour with every sorority and
all the formals.
Like when formals were coming around, girls in sororities would fight for me to be their date. Not as like a relationship thing,
right,
but they knew I was a good date.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to dance handsome, on the dance floor. Yeah. I'm going to talk to everyone. I won't be aloof the entire night. And those were some good times. And I would always say yes because I'm like, what? We're going on a boat ride?
Yeah.
And we're having free drinks and a free dinner?
Yeah.
Sign me up. I will be your date for sure.
We'll be right back to this conversation with Jack in just a second. But first, a quick word from today's sponsor.
So you guys have probably seen a lot of ads for Hims. Hims, it looks so great. It's an amazing, cool-looking company. But what they're all about is helping guys look their best. And if you haven't heard of Hims, now is a great time to find out. So 66% of guys start losing their hair by the age 35. Sometimes you notice your hair thinning out, you get bald spots, your hairline, is it receding or is it not? It's a super anxious process that a lot of men go through. I've struggled with it. My roommates have struggled with it. Many, many of my friends have. But the best thing to do when it comes to hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair.
And guys will turn to so many weird, crazy solutions or no solutions at all. Why do that when you can trust medicine and science?
And that's why we're happy to be sponsored by 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, sexual wellness, and skincare for men.
It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair.
And thanks to science, baldness can be optional. You don't have to retreat to all of those weird snake oils or gas station supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science.
Science!
Science rules.
No more awkward doctor visits or long lines at the pharmacy.
4hims connects you to a licensed medical professional online,
which could save you hours, and it's completely confidential and discreet.
So today, Hims is giving you, our listeners, our watchers, their best offer yet. If you're not happy with your results after 90 days, Hims will give you a full refund.
And right now, our listeners, our viewers, you watching this right now, can get their first visit for free.
So if you're interested, go to 4hims.com/hoot. Once again, that's 4hims.com/hoot.
Just a quick disclaimer, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
So once again, that's 4hims.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode.
That's kind of how I felt. When I was in college, I went to University of Delaware originally, and then I transferred after a semester because I think I just like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was also kind of in a toxic relationship so that my mind was just not in University of Delaware. So I came home, I went to, a community college and for a year and a half, then I went to Hofstra. So I was in a sorority for the 2 years of Hofstra. And for those 2 years, I went to some formals too. Same reason.
Oh, like, you're in a sorority. Well, don't tell me. Maybe I can guess.
It's embarrassing.
It's an embarrassing? No, you're embarrassed about this sorority?
No, it's just I'm so not a sorority. Like, I feel like I have some traits of sorority girl, but like not really. Like
every school's different. A Chi O.
No.
Oh. Kappa Delta?
Mm-mm.
It's not Alpha Phi.
It is Alpha Phi.
So is Natalie.
I know.
Oh! I was like, no, Natalie's an Alpha Phi. I feel like I would have heard this.
Yeah.
Do you guys do like little sorority handshakes with one another?
No. And I don't even, I almost got kicked out of my sorority numerous times because I'm just like a free spirit. I didn't like the rules. There were like laws that you had to obey.
And like
I
was meetings like, you have to go to. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I mean, I like to be the life of the party. And they'd be like, no, like, you're just, it's too much. And I was like,
it's, yeah.
Okay.
You don't need restrictions. You need to let your wings.
Yeah.
Did you have Instagram back then?
Yes.
Did you guys have at your sorority a secret Instagram account that was run by like the head honchos of your sorority, like the head girls? And if you posted a picture that they didn't like and didn't feel like it represented the sisterhood, they would comment just like an asterisk on your picture. And it was like a message to say, take it down.
We had like a huge group chat and they would just send the photo and be like, this needs to be removed.
In front of all the other like sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Maybe not in front of all the other sisters, but
in front of the elders.
Yeah. I don't really remember. I could have just made that up entirely.
Moving beyond all the great Americana, homecoming queen and sorority gal, you went to Hofstra to study broadcast journalism.
Yep.
Did you want to be a broadcast journalist?
So I wanted to be a sports journalist, broadcast Ooh. Journalist, because I thought I was so unique. I thought I was revolutionary. I was paving the path. Like, yeah, there was Aaron Andrews, but I was like, oh, a female sports broadcaster, please. I'm going to get hired in a second. My first class, journalism class that I walked into, there were about 15 blonde girls all going for sports journalism. And I was like,
maybe not as unique as you thought.
Maybe I missed the mark there. Okay, whatever. Not a big deal. Discouraged. Not discouraged. But every journalism class that I had, any girl that I met was like, yeah, I want to do sports broadcast journalism. And I was like, oh.
Can you give us a take of a sports update real quick?
Well, so since I decided that wasn't the career path that I wanted to go on, I kind of just like stopped caring.
Gotcha.
I used to be such a big Jets fan and I knew all of the players and what had happened in the game. I don't know diddly squat now.
And boom goes the dynamite.
I'm not paying attention because I had one professor. He was so funny. He was the best. He was like maybe 60, so rich and sophisticated, would drive his 7-series Beamer from New York City once a week to teach like 3 classes. And he only did it because he wanted to give his knowledge to these students, not because he needed money or anything. And he was a journalist for, I want to say like maybe NBC or something. He like really did well. And one of the first days, this was my senior year, one of the first days of class, he was like, I just want to know, are you guys really committed to this? And we were like, yeah. And he goes, good, because only one of you is going to get an actual really good job. All of the rest of you, if you want to be on the air, you have to move to like Idaho, Nebraska, Kansas, because you're not going to get on the air in New York City. It's
That's
not
how
happening.
Journalism works. Yeah.
Dreams crushed.
Yeah. And so I was like, I think I'm just going to graduate and like go in a different direction.
Yeah. I was a broadcast journalism major when I first started because I thought like, oh, I would love to be on TV and read a teleprompter. No mm-hmm. problem. But that was like 2010. And then social media took off.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one's watching the news like they used to. And I know I always think about that about weathermen, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like what being a weatherman has
probably
to be
so much fun.
It's so much fun, but it's so competitive.
Yes.
Because you have to like hope that you like maintain a good, I don't know, residency
yep.
at that news station.
Yeah. Yep.
And no, everyone just has the weather app. No one's watching the weather guy.
Yeah.
And
unless you're like at a doctor's waiting room office or something, like,
yeah.
Oh, I guess I'll just watch what's on TV.
And even with news too, like I get all of my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
If anything's going on, I always go to Twitter and I see so many
trending page or whatever.
Yeah, and I follow a bunch of news outlets on Twitter. It's so much easier. I'm not going to go scramble to find the news, hope they're talking about the segment that I want to know about. So,
well, shout out to that professor for crushing your dreams and putting you on a
different
path.
But opening my eyes. Yeah. Opened my eyes. I was like, oh, this is not what I want to do. So now let's figure out what I want to do.
And then, so what did you do right after that?
So, because I knew that.
Was that so stupid? That kind of came out of my mouth.
No, No, it's like good. I like the energy. It's good.
So
what did you do? Right,
it feels like
that.
A 1970s like talk show right now. Like, so what did you do next? You young whippersnapper.
I'll tell you what I did next.
Yeah.
I did nothing for years. No, literally, I lived at home and I would go into the city to an internship that I only worked there because I didn't know what else to do. And I went 3 days a week. It was like a clothing fashion internship, and I definitely didn't want to do that. And I started to slowly build my Instagram following because I was like, you know, I think there's potential there. I see other people doing it. So I started building that. And then I connected with a bunch of random girls via Instagram who are also Instagram people, one of which is my best friend, Kayla. And she told me she was moving to California, and she was like, you have to come visit. And I'd never been to California. I'd always wanted to go. So I took that opportunity and I went and visited her for 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, this is where I gotta be. Cause I think now being a social media person in New York City is great.
Yeah.
But kind of when I was starting out, it was bloggers lived in New York City, right. And that's it. There weren't just social media, like TikTok wasn't a thing, but it just really didn't exist there. And so I was like, if I really want to grow, I need to be in LA because that's where everyone who does social media goes. And then I also really want to eventually even still get into acting. And I just thought, as long as I build my brand, it'll be easier for me to get auditions and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's funny how that kind of like New York is so different than LA, because LA is such like it's a circus out here of yeah. all different types of creators and you can collab with, rather mm-hmm. than being out there in an environment where it's just kind of like limited of just being with like fashion bloggers and yeah. stuff.
And I do think now it's different because I think TikTok really just changed the game because people love glamorizing and romanticizing New York City. So some of the biggest influencers that I follow on TikTok, I'm sorry, am I boring you?
No, sorry.
I'm kidding.
I haven't eaten yet today, so I'm a little hungry.
You haven't eaten?
No, I had like a little
it's
bit
3 o'clock. You
I
had
know,
a bagel?
I had a little piece of avocado toast that I made in a rush.
Do you want some of my liquid?
No, I'm good.
Have some Mentos. I heard they're not stale.
No, they're not stale. But you also kind of had a little acting bone. You did. Did you do theater growing up?
Yeah. So I did theater in high school.
What plays?
So actually in like middle school, I did a theater totally outside of school. I was just in like a theater club thing.
Yeah.
And I did The Sound of Music. I did The Wizard of Oz. And then we were supposed to do another one, but it ended up getting canceled because I don't think the ticket sales were there. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then in high school, I did senior year. I did. I have the worst memory, hence my Dory tattoo. I am Dory. But it was something about murder mystery. And I was supposed to play a has-been old Hollywood actress. And that was really fun because I just really went over the top on stage. And then in college I did theater classes, and then I did a lot of extra work.
Do you still act and audition out here?
I still audition out here, but I haven't really done anything acting wise. I did a lot, and I don't background work and extra work is great because I always recommend it to people who have never been on a TV or movie set, because the first time I was an extra, it was for the movie Now You See Me.
You're in Now You See Me?
You'd think that. I'm in the crowd of 600 people.
Now You See Me. Now You Know. Like, yeah. It's just
that's it, exactly.
Your appearance was a magic trick within itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I never knew that scenes. It really was.
But you're doing great. Okay.
I never knew that scenes that are 3 minutes long took
a day,
5 hours yeah. to film. So it was really eye-opening. But the coolest thing about being on the set of Now You See Me is I got to meet Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Mark Ruffalo, Jesse Eisenberg.
You got to meet the whole cast.
Yeah, because I luckily was, so like I said, there was literally 600 extras, and it was an overnight shoot in New York City in March, so it was freezing cold. It was miserable. But at one point, I was pretty close to where the main actors were, and they were turning the cameras around, and instead of making all of the extras go back to where we were waiting, they're like, everyone just stay put. It's only going to take like 20 minutes to turn around. And all of the main actors came down. They're like, hey, and started talking to the extras. And at the time, I had a history professor that really reminded me of Woody Harrelson so much. And so all these people are running up to Woody to get photos. And then I go up to him, and he starts to put his arm out to do a photo. And I was like, hi, I just have to tell you, I have a history professor who reminds me of you so much. He's my favorite teacher, and I just had to tell you. And he was like, wow, what's your name? Where do you go to school? What do you want to do? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just started chatting up. It was so nice. And then goes, so, do you want to get a picture with me? And I was like, yeah, I really do. We took a photo, and then the PAs were like, oh, everyone has to go back. And I was like, oh, under my breath, sort of, because I wanted a photo with Jesse Eisenberg. And Woody Harrelson goes, oh, do you want a photo with Jesse? And I was like, if it's not a problem. And he goes, not at all. He goes, Jesse, come here. I want you to take a photo with my new friend, Jackie.
Wow.
And so he got Jesse
Hold on. Jackie is how you used to...
Yes.
Oh, you introduced yourself as Jackie.
That's how I used to go.
Was that your stage name?
No, that was just my name.
Jackie?
I used to always go by Jackie. All my high school friends call me Jackie still.
And then you rebranded.
Whoa. And I rebranded.
When you moved out here?
Yeah. I said, Jack. Just Jack.
Should we not Google Jackie Anderson? Because this is going to be this whole alter ego.
Whole new life. No, I feel like Jackie doesn't fit me. It sounds so like Valley Girl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're kind of not a Jackie.
I'm like a Brock girl. Yeah.
Or Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's a little harder for people to say, so.
That takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of not vowels. What's the other
consonants?
It's a lot of consonants. Jacqueline. Like a lot of
syllables.
It's a great name, but it's clean. It's like clean. That scene in The Social Network where someone's like, hey, drop the key. Just Jack.
Yeah.
It's cleaner.
Jesse Eisenberg. That's what
Jesse Eisenberg said. Yeah. Did he say that?
No.
Oh.
He actually.
He goes up, Jackie?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me give a piece of advice. Drop the key.
He is kind of like that, though.
I've heard,
I don't know. I've seen like some interviews with Jesse Eisenberg, and he's a little edgy.
Yeah.
So when Woody was like, oh, okay, take a photo with her. It was so funny. He literally took my phone, and I was like, Woody Harrelson's about to take a photo of me and Jesse Eisenberg, and Woody Harrelson just shoves it in a PA's face. He's like, you take this of them. But it was just, I loved like that Woody looked out for me. And then my mom later was like, well, he has a few daughters. That doesn't surprise me that he was like, oh, I'm going to take her under my wing and help her out. But Jesse Eisenberg, he was staying there like this. And he's like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like, he just, like, was very...
Yeah,
transactional.
Kind of and just next. I have nightmares where I am meeting a celebrity of my dreams, and I'm trying to hand the phone to someone, and they're not, and they don't know how to work the phone, and it's just blurry.
Like, you're at a party with Lord or something, and you hand me the phone, and I'm like, Matt, what's your password? How do you...
Yes, that happened. A dream where I was with Lord. I was in a, like, supermarket aisle buying beer, and I was with Lord, and we were just really kicking it off and having a moment where I felt suddenly so comfortable. Like, we got to get a pic. And I handed it to a friend and just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. And I was like, please, please, just
instantly turned into a nightmare.
Just get it done. And like, it won't happen. Or like, the phone is cracked.
Yeah.
It's dying.
It's like like when you're trying to like punch someone and your arms are just like jello, or like you can't run. Yeah.
But I'm glad you had a great interaction with Woody Harrelson.
I did. He was really.
And you have a small appearance, and now you see me.
So small. Don't even try and find me. Because...
Have you found yourself in the movie?
No.
Like, if you pause the frame and you're like, that's me.
It's 600 people, right?
It's 600
Yeah, but you have blonde hair.
People. I probably have like a hat on. It was like 16 degrees out. It was miserable. Mm.
We'll be right back to the rest of the episode. But first, a quick word from today's sponsor. Matt, do you know what sometimes takes longer than writing an actual email is the editing of that email that you want to write?
Oh my gosh. I completely agree. Sometimes you'll spend just a quick amount of time sending an email, especially to somebody really important, whether it's a boss, a job application, anything like that. And then you're like, wait, did I write this correctly? Do I sound like an idiot? Does all this check out? And sometimes like autocorrect features and stuff really do not hit the point.
And a lot of times you'll end up spending more time editing the original draft than you did just writing it.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if there was a way to solve that?
Well, luckily, Mike, there is one. So if you want to save yourself doubt and time on emails, messages,
projects, papers, articles you need to write, whatever it may be, Grammarly Premium is the way to go. Matt, I'm a business guy. Got a management company, send a ton of emails every day. And one thing that I love is if I'm sometimes I need to get something done from someone else, sometimes my tone can be a little bit harsh. And so normally, you know, you want to think through what's the polite way to say this. There's a lot of corporate speak with Grammarly. It immediately tells me this sentence could be a little brighter. Maybe use this word in here. This sounds a little bit forceful. This has a negative connotation. And it tells me what I can do to fix the emails or whatever I'm writing to make it a little bit more palatable, a little bit more in my own voice.
Which is so nice, because when I was younger and as a college student and you had to have your paper edited, I would always cringe when someone had to edit it. But this, it's just all automatic.
Yeah.
It's just a computer editing it for you. So you don't even need to have anxiety of somebody tweaking what you've already written. What I love are the clarity suggestions. Grammarly Premium helps you get your message across quickly without repeated or unnecessary words. There's also vocabulary suggestions, so you don't need to be searching for synonyms anymore.
Grammarly Premium offers suggestions to replace very commonly used words, so you'll sound more unique and maybe a little more intelligent. It's not just for professionals, writers of emails and articles. If you're a student and you're writing paper, Grammarly also has a plagiarism check to make sure that what you're writing is okay.
It's just crazy why you wouldn't have this. I wish I had this when I was in college, because it could have seriously saved my butt, and because I didn't want to lose any points on my final paper.
It feels like having a good writer with you when you're writing. It's just like someone who's like really smart and will just give you the right answer for what you're looking for.
Yeah, fix that.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, yeah. And then you suddenly sound smarter.
Yes.
I use Grammarly Premium on my phone. I use it on my emails, on my messages. It's everywhere with me. Now, with the free version of Grammarly, you're safe from embarrassing spelling, grammar, and punctuation mistakes. But Grammarly Premium's advanced time-saving features will help you write much more clearly and efficiently.
So cut down on the editing time and write more confidently with Grammarly Premium.
And get 20% off Grammarly Premium by going to grammarly.com/hoot. Once again, that's 20% off at grammarly.com/hoot. And hoot, that's H-O-O-T. Look at me. I can spell. Do I need it? I do. I definitely do.
All right, back to the episode.
I was an extra in...
Yeah, what other...
Is a TV show called Royal Pains.
Oh, it was on TBS, I think?
Yeah, something like that. And this was still when I was new to the extra world. So I didn't realize that a lot of times you might think you're going to be right on camera. And you're not. You really are not. And so I was in a scene where the main character was right next... Or like the main character of the episode was right next to me. And so I was like, okay, I'm... gotta be on camera for this one. I'm right next to him. So I told all of my friends. I think I posted on my story. I was like, guys, check me out. I'm gonna be on Royal Pains.
Yeah.
So I had like at least 10 to 15 friends tuning in just to see my quick cameo.
You're having like a watch party. Popcorn has been popped. Everyone's gathered around.
I'm like, oh, this is the scene. It was at a big, beautiful mansion. I'm like, this is the scene. This is the scene. You just got to wait for this guy to pop up. They must have scrapped the whole scene.
Oh, no.
That whole scene was cut. Oh, so all wow. My friends were like, did I miss it yet? Oh, no. Like, did it happen yet? I'm like, and then one of my guy friends was like, were you wearing a blue dress? And I was like, yup. Yeah, I was. Pink. I was wearing a pink dress, but to God. Their knowledge, I was in a blue dress.
Yeah.
Because I could not. I was mortified. I was like, I'm never telling anyone to watch anything I'm ever in again unless I know I'm gonna be in it.
Maybe were you kind of like hogging the scene though? Were you like,
the director was like, hold on, who's this extra standing next to the main guy here? We gotta scrap the whole scene. Just get rid of it.
Done.
She ruined it. Yeah, well, then I've been in a few. I have made a few cameos in like random things, like The Affair. There's like a
the show on yeah. HBO.
Mm-hmm.
You're in The Affair. Mm-hmm. Is it? No, wait, Affair's not on HBO. It's on maybe.
No, it is on Showtime.
Stars.
Oh,
I don't know. It's like one that. Of those.
Something.
Yeah. We got all the bases covered.
Yeah, there's a scene where it's like a big giant party in a mansion or something like that.
I know what scene you're talking about.
Are you sure? With
the hot tub scene?
Yes.
Yes, I know that episode. I haven't watched all of The Affair, but I know which episode you're talking about.
I think I have a photo on my Instagram, or I might have archived it now. But there's a scene where this guy walks in, the older man with the white hair, he walks in, and the director was like, okay, everybody standing in this area, like, this is the big wig. This is a big big guy, so you have to like look and notice him. So I'm like standing, talking, and he walks past us, and I go like this, and freeze frame, clear as day, me. I'm like,
whoa,
yeah,
you're in it.
Yeah.
So guys, if you're listening or watching, go check out that episode of The Affair. Screenshot it and tweet it to Jack or us, because I want to see it.
Actually, I was talking to Joe and Annalise, and because we when I did a mukbang with them, and I told them that there's also I made a cameo in Law and Order one time,
and
Annalise sent me a screenshot of me. She's like, "This is you," and it's me. I'm just like,
"Well, your IMDb must be very impressive with all of these huge titles, but right. very small."
You'd think I don't even
girl
have
in
them.
The blue dress.
I feel
girl
like
at party.
I feel like it's like a. Not embarrassing, but if you're trying to impress like a casting director and they're like, oh, Law and Order. Girl in orange dress clapping her hands.
Yeah, right. Your reel is just like a freeze.
It's just photos. Montage. It's just not like, even video. It's just photos.
Yeah. Yep, very quick. It's as long as a vine of just your all of your background just work.
You could be good for the karaoke montage.
Yes.
With those different, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so you've had very limited screen time, but you know, you've done a lot of modeling work. You're a very photogenic person. You're as photogenic as Todd. You guys, like, you know, you two, I think, look great in any photo.
Thank you.
You pose really well. Do you plan out your poses? Or is this a dumb question?
No, I like it. Did you go through a phase where you like figured out what your angles are?
Yeah. So when I first decided that I really wanted to get into the entertainment world, everybody that I had met in New York City was like, you just need some like good photos for your book. So if you go onto a casting or whatever. So I hired this really good photographer and his team. It was a makeup artist and a stylist. I was like 19 and I'd never modeled before in my life. And that was the most painful shoot because I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how I was supposed to pose. The photos, I look like I am a wax figure. I look so unnatural. So I quickly realized I have to get more fluid. I gotta get a little loose. Mm-hmm. Figure out what works, what doesn't. And now I have just like go-to poses that I know work. And I really don't consider myself a model. I'm more an Instagram model.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
And so I just know what works on Instagram too.
Right.
I think I used to really pose because I thought that's what the masses wanted to see. Whereas now I think everyone likes the more candid.
Yeah,
so
I
perfected the candid, like, oh, I'm looking over here. Oh, I'm fixing my hair in this photo.
Right.
Pulling up my pants in this photo.
Well, so. I need to take like a pose lesson from you sometime because for sure.
Do you think it's something you could teach?
Yes. Definitely. With friends, I'll take photos of my friends and I'll be like, just like move your head a little bit this way, like tilt it down, like really just run your hands through your fingers because it'll look good on camera. Even if your fingers look blurry, that adds to the pizzazz.
Now, speaking of, I guess, posing or hand movements, is it true that you can touch your left ear with your left hand or your left earlobe?
Yes.
Okay, look at this.
Okay. I'm putting the mic down.
Okay. Or I can hold it if we need ASMR of touching earlobes on this podcast.
No idea what's about to happen.
So
describe it for the people who are listening.
Mike, take your left hand and touch your left earlobe by wrapping it around your head. Other way. Yes. Now grab that ear.
Grab the left ear by going this way?
Yeah.
It's impossible. I'll even try doing
possible.
It too.
Yep.
Lift earlobe.
And grab.
Oh, yeah. No way. I can only get to just like mid mouth.
So basically, you take your arm, you put it over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
Around the back of the right, back of your head.
Around the back of your head. Oh, around the back of your head. Sorry. First
across,
podcast.
Across the front of your face.
Under your chin more.
Okay.
Yeah, I can only.
You're going to do this for us?
Yes.
Okay. And I can hold the mic.
Oh, can
do you need a stretch before you do this?
Pretty limber.
Okay.
Whoa!
Oh, both. And the right.
Oh, my.
Wow.
You can, like, turn your head a little if you have to.
I feel like I'm going to sprain my neck. How did you discover you could do that?
My friend could do it. And sometimes my friends, or even just on
oh my God,
TikTok or anything, I'll see someone doing like a weird thing and I just bet you I can do that. I bet you I can do that.
And so you practice and practice, or you just could do it?
I just could do it. This girl on TikTok, she was like, I can like move my esophagus or something, and I don't know if it's normal, but can anyone else do this?
I can move my esophagus.
Oh, yeah, you can like, do it too.
You can like move your ass. Oh, ooh.
Yeah. Like
ooh. The- oh, bro. Mike.
It's fine.
Oh, guys. No. Wait, can I?
Yeah, everyone
you
can.
You probably can. No, it's just a matter of really pushing.
Hurt. It's just like.
It makes weird noises. Yeah, you're doing it.
Yeah, you're doing it.
Ew.
I think it's a good stretch, too.
If you do it a little too long, it feels like it's not perfectly centered anymore.
It'll never be the same.
You're just off to you look like a Dr. Seuss character with us. You're like, hey, guys.
Yeah, your voice is just up an octave.
Can you?
Hey, guys, welcome back.
Okay, so let's talk Disney.
Yes.
I know favorite. That you're not only a big Disney fan, a big fan of the Disney franchises and movies and everything, but you have been to Disneyland, Disney World.
Disney World.
How many times?
26.
26 times.
To Disney World.
Disney World, in Orlando, Florida. And I live in New York, so it's not like I just drive there.
So that's more than once a year.
It's once a year and then once twice a year because I missed a year. And now I'm 28 now, so now I'm a little far behind. But we were supposed to go, but then COVID hit, so we had to change our plans.
Do you need a map when you go, or you know where everything is?
I know where everything is.
And you know what rides you want to hit? Do you plan out your day before you go?
We plan out our morning. So I go with my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, and sister. We love it. My brother's 25, so none of us are children anymore. At heart, we are. But we know exactly where we want to go. So, like, for example, Animal Kingdom, there is the Mount Everest ride. It's the Yeti ride.
Right.
And it always has the longest line. And if you can't get a fast pass, you have to run to the ride.
When it opens.
When the park opens.
Oh, my gosh.
And because my family are Disney Club members, we get the park opens usually at 8 for everyone. But for us, it opens at 7. But there are a lot of Disney Club members.
The club members. Disney Club members. You get in earlier. And you pay what? An annual fee?
Yes.
Do you guys have a brick?
Oh, my mom does, but we don't. My mom does with her family.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on. I'm trying to take this all
so the
in.
Doors open at 7 a.m. Doors and open at 7 a.m. There's a bunch of Disney fans at the gate, like ready to go.
Ready
like
to
Black
go.
Friday.
So, perfect example is when Pandora World, which is the world from Avatar.
Right.
Opened at Animal Kingdom. You couldn't get fast passes for it because they'd been sold out weeks leading up to the opening of it. So we knew that we had to just run. And that was because we didn't really know where Pandora World was because it was a brand new attraction in Animal Kingdom. We tried to map it out as much as we could. And we were like, all right, ready, set, gates open, running. I'm not kidding.
Hold my hand.
Running. And like my family was like, we'll catch up to you. I think my brother and I, we sprinted. And you're looking to your right, and you see a brother and a sister, and you're looking to the left, and you see a dad with a stroller. We're all running.
All
to
other
this
club
ride.
Members.
Yes. Keep that in mind.
Now, are y'all wearing like matching T-shirts? Or are you dressed like you're going to church? Like, is this like how elite is this club?
I wear
scene?
What I'm wearing now, but I have to have my ears on. Okay. You can't be in Disney World without ears.
But okay. Fastened with bobby pins into the hair because you don't want the ears flying off.
Oh, not fastened because I have to take them off for some rides. Because if they fly off, you'd be really upset. But we an hour early, ran to the ride, still had to wait 2.5 hours to get on the ride.
What? How is that possible?
Because it's just so crowded, and the ride's more of like a show ride. So it takes kind of like 15 minutes, I guess, per group of people that are
getting. And worth the 2.5 hour wait?
Worth the 2.5 hour wait. Mm. Couldn't.
Looks like you're going to Disney World.
I would love to. I haven't been to Disney World since like the early 2000s, like late 90s, when I feel like it was all just like mechanical things. Yeah. And it's like, but when you're like a kid, like even that's incredible. The technology in the last 20 years, I bet you it's probably like taking drugs or something to go to Disneyland.
Well,
Disney
what
World.
I have said, the two places that I always want to go with a group of friends is New Orleans and Disney World. And a lot of people laugh when I say Disney World, but it is so fun. Magic Kingdom's the only park without alcohol, but all the other parks have alcohol if that's what you're interested in. And The restaurants are amazing. The shows are amazing. You really do.
Can you make like a weekend out of it where you go for like 2 or 3 days in a row, or is that overkill?
3 days. 3 days is totally perfect. You can do all the parks. The best part.
You sound like a salesperson for Disney.
Right? I know.
It's just like, thank you for our Disney representative.
By the way, this is sponsored by Disney. No, the best park is Epcot when you're an adult, because they have 12 countries. You drink around the world. You go to each country. You get the signature drink. By the end, you're sloshed.
Yes. I've been wanting to go to Epcot for a long time.
We should do maybe like a group trip to Disney World.
I'm telling you, it's so fun.
But you can't film there, right? I think that's a big thing at Disney, is they don't allow you to film there.
You can like Instagram story.
But like there was like a movie that got made that was like they secretly recorded their time at Disney World because they don't want you recording anything.
Yes, the Florida Project.
Yes.
Well, the final scene of the Florida, I don't want to spoil the Florida Project if you haven't seen it, but they had to shoot the Disneyland footage on an iPhone because you can't have a professional camera.
Yeah, I think you just can't have.
Have you been to Disneyland out here?
Mm-hmm.
Does it compare at all?
It's fun, of course. It's so much fun, but it's not.
It's not even a, it's like a different thing.
And people like argue with me on social media when I'm like, hey, Disneyland's great, but it's not Disney World. And they're like, whoa, I can't believe you'd say that. I'm like, if you are fighting me on this, you've never been to Disney World.
Do you play any fun games while you're waiting in line? Because like a big thing of Disneyland, yes, the lines suck, but it's about bonding while you're in line to make that time go by fast. How do you pass the time when you're in line?
So when we waited in 2.5 hours of line, it was by 8 a.m., my family, because we were in Animal Kingdom, we went and took turns going to get some beer.
Okay.
8 a.m. beers. Everybody loves it. We play Heads Up a lot.
That's a great way to pass the time, but I can't stand watching another group play Heads Up because you're like, you're just seeing it. You just like, you're like, it's Gabrielle Union. Like, you just want to like hop in and say like what the fucking thing is, or just like.
I don't know if it's because Disney's just the most magical place on earth, but like we would be playing and the people in front of us would be like, dated that, married to the basketball, star, like they join in. So there's like
friends.
50 people trying to tell me Gabrielle Union on my forehead.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Oh, that's great. I'm
and then also Disney, they like, they really take care, like they really want it to be as fun as it, as you can, oh my gosh, as much fun as it can be even while waiting in lines. So the lines themselves, I mean, sometimes the lines are boring, but lines themselves are like pretty interactive too. They'll have people come by. The garbage sweepers will come by and all of a sudden they'll start putting on a show for you because they're not really garbage sweepers.
Right. And then sometimes they'll paint like Disney characters or if they're one of like the street cleaners with like the water.
This place sounds really cool.
We're going to go.
We got to go.
And it's also interesting, Disney lines, they make it seem like it's going by faster than it actually is.
Because
they do it kind of in waves. It's really not like a static line all the way.
They'll like
move you to one room and then they'll move you to another every 10 minutes.
And they have like TVs playing. Or maybe that's like old and like Six
and
Flags.
And misters and stuff.
No, they do.
Yeah, that's what I, right?
Yeah, yes.
But it's probably better than that now, right?
Okay.
And like with the Pandora one. So at first I was, the line was so long that we were just on the like the walkway at first, but then once you got into like the actual line, you're walking through the floating cliffs and the waterfalls, then you go inside and you're like, it's really dark and it looks, all these lights are, you feel like you're in the jungle. Then you're in the science lab office and you see all the paperworks and the floating avatar character and everything.
You sold us.
Yes.
You sold us.
Yes.
We're going, and you are going to be our guide and leader the entire time.
Please.
So you're a Disney aficionado.
Yes.
And you are also the president of the Tom Holland fan club. Is that true?
Can
you give yourself that title, or is there like another Tom Holland?
That is what your bio is on TikTok, right?
Yes. Tom Holland fan page.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's our bio on TikTok.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I was just coming up with that as a joke.
I love Tom Holland.
Where did this come from, this love for Tommy?
I think just from watching Spider-Man and the Avatar movies, I'm a big Marvel fan, which when I knew Disney acquired Marvel, you don't know how much my heart soared because two of my favorites into one, and now there's the Marvel rides at Disney. Oh, that's a whole nother 45-minute podcast. But so I think just from watching the movies, I loved his personality. And then again, I'm TikTok. I credit so many of the things I like from TikTok because then I'd see all these edits of Tom Holland being like so funny and goofy. He's known for spoiling so many little secrets of Marvel movies.
Is that true? Or, like, I know that is true. I've seen compilations of Tom Holland leaking information, but that's not like a publicity stunt.
It might be,
but as far as I know. Okay.
And so it's just, I thought he was like so funny and cute. I just love his character.
And he's super limber. He's like a gymnast as well. He can dance.
Have you seen the Umbrella lip sync?
No.
Zendaya?
No, I haven't. But under my umbrella, he has.
He did the whole dance.
Wow.
Dressed in heels in Rihanna's outfit.
I actually have a friend of mine who's pretty close with him. So I can like maybe make something happen.
Hey, I always tell Scott this. I'm like, listen, I feel like if I ever met Tom Holland, it's not even going to be like, oh my God, I want to date him. I want to be his like best friend. Like, yes, I think he's adorable and he's so cute. But at the end of the day, like, I'm just like, I think me and you, I'm like, I think we would just hit it off.
It's less of a hall pass situation.
Yes,
more of like
it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And it's not like I look at Tom Holland and I'm like, ooh, sex machine.
Like
he's just like,
Styles
like,
or something.
Cute. Yeah.
Just infatuated with him. Yeah. And now, would you say the same for Scott's crush on Zendaya?
I think that has stemmed directly from my crush
on
Tom Holland and her as well. I'm a huge Zendaya fan. Zendaya.
I saying her name wrong?
I think it's Zendaya, but honestly, I've heard people say Zendaya, and which that makes me sound like I'm not a fan. Because...
Well, she listens to this all the time, so now I feel bad. She always
comments on the episodes.
Yeah.
If she commented on this episode, I would shit.
You want to FaceTime her in right now? Her as a third guest?
I mean, I just FaceTimed her earlier today.
Oh, she's on that flight to Australia right now. So.
Oh, right.
Sorry. We'll get her next time for you.
Jack, what are you working on?
Well, I have my YouTube channel that I have not been so consistent with, but I have turned over a new leaf. I am really trying to get back on track with just making videos that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do well, that's great. But if they don't do well, I don't care because
I'm going
to love
them.
People
love you on YouTube, though. You had a really successful launch with your YouTube channel, and the videos are great, and people love it.
Yeah, thank you. I just love to show... Because I love watching YouTube, and especially I love like the Emma Chamberlains where she's just very herself, but I do love watching the very picture perfect beauty gurus and everything. And I'm so the opposite of that. Like I will go on freshly woken up, like really not looking my best, being like talking about if I have some stomach issues or whatever. Like I just like to keep it real. And so that's my biggest thing that I've always said with my YouTube is I never want to be a sellout and just start posting this like picture perfect lifestyle. Cause that's just not me.
Yeah. You are unabashedly yourself.
Yes.
And I love it.
Thank you.
So yeah, anybody who's listening or watching, check out Jack's channel.
Please do.
She's great. She's super entertaining. You feel like you already know you when you're watching it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, even though I already know you.
My biggest thing is I want it to be like, I'm your big sister, even if you're older than me. And like almost we're just on FaceTime hanging out.
Yeah, your gal pal.
Yeah, like we're in the same room together and we're just.
Are you the older sibling in your
family? I'm a middle.
A middle child.
Yeah. Oh,
you have
right.
Very firstborn energy.
I know. But I also have middle born because I love attention. And a middle child is like, because, you know, there's the firstborn who's the star of the show. That's my sister. She has her doctorate living in New Orleans.
That's us, buddy.
That's right.
Firstborn's power.
And then my baby brother, he was babied a lot. And now he's this insanely talented musician. And then there's me. And I'm like, just watch me. So I'm always putting on a performance.
Yeah, I wish I had an older sibling. I wonder, would I have been different or would I have turned out different? Do you think you would have?
I don't think I would have. I think you... This is a little deep, but I think you may have been more anxious if you had an older sibling.
You think so?
Yeah, because I feel like younger siblings all have like a bit of anxiety that older siblings don't have, because the younger siblings always have someone else that's like above them essentially and has already like tried things and they're always trying to live up to them and like being judged by an older sibling. I never had someone else judging me. I figured everything out for myself. I didn't have anyone to compare myself to. So I have no anxiety about like feeling that, you know, what I'm doing is right or cool or fun or whatever. And I feel like you have that as an older sibling. But if you were to have an older brother, you'd be like, well, is this cool? Like, you know, am I doing the right thing? And you'd always be like comparing yourself to your older siblings. So you'd have an anxiety that you don't have now. Do you feel that?
No, I was just going to say, wait a dang minute. Don't you have a vine
uh-huh.
where you was it you? I think it was you. Where he was like, something about having an older brother. And
what?
And like, it was you acting by yourself. And you said something like, oh, he's so cool. Was that you? It might not have been you.
Was it?
Did you make a TikTok where it was like something about boobs or something? Like you were pretending to be an older brother.
And like showing him the boobs or something?
Yeah. And that it was either you or Zachary Pionia? Yeah. Him.
Zach Pionia?
Yeah, I feel like you guys had very similar, like.
Very expressive people. I think I did make a Vine like
that. I think you made a Vine.
Where you were like, hey, come in here, younger brother. And you showed him like boobs or something?
Yeah, no, it was like, or it was like, I saw boobs. And he's like, your brother's the coolest.
Yeah, maybe I did.
I was such a Matt King Vine
fan.
No, I totally think I like.
I was. I had like, really? I followed him. Like, I had so many of his videos. I thought he was just, I still do. One of the funniest people ever.
Well, were you making Vines?
No, I wanted to. I was too nervous because I went to like, because I was in my sorority. I was felt like very judgy. So I just like never really let loose. Right. I really wanted to, but I never did. But it's like that was majestic. I quote that all the time.
Oh, when I was at a horse competition.
A horse and someone jumped over.
And I was like, that was majestic.
And he just panned himself.
Thank
or
you.
There was one where you're danced or in the car, and your mouth is open. You're like,
oh, the classic one.
Yeah. Beyonce one
that I filmed with my brother.
Yep.
My favorite one was, how did your dad make all his money? Dad, do the thing. EA Sports.
It's in the game.
And you did you did the wink on the it's.
Yeah.
It's in the game. And I was like, okay, that is really fucking cool. Like that's a level of comedic thought that requires a skill that not many people have.
I was goofing around back then. I need to like get back in that groove of making those types of videos because like I don't do TikTok at all. Because like
would love you, like, because especially they'd recognize you from Vine, so they'd be like, it, like if they don't know who you are still just now, they'd
the
be like,
TikTok
oh my
audience
God.
Is a whole new audience. Though,
yeah, I got to start turning them out. You got to teach me your ways because you're busting out TikToks all the time.
I was, and then I kind of slowed down a bit. I get in these like. Really phases. Pump up mood and I kind of slow it down. But yeah, I'm going to look up a Matt King Vine compilation and I'm going to find the one I was talking about.
I feel like that was like looking at a different person back then, though.
Yeah, it's younger version. Before you're working out. Like
I didn't know who I was. Yeah. Too, or like I was just trying to goof around on the internet to see like, oh, will this do well? I wasn't like thinking aware that this would ever become a career and people would like continue to know me. I thought it would just be a blip.
That you have a podcast in a
look at you
in a 1980s.
Look at us.
We made
look
it.
At us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Well, Jack, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so
are we
much
good?
For I think so.
We're
me.
Good.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Man, I feel like it's just flown by this entire
this was
conversation.
Really fast.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to Disney. We got to plan that trip.
Disney.
You also got to like teach me more about the Avengers movies because I've never even seen Endgame. Or Infinity War.
No, don't leave. Don't
I'm
leave.
Leaving.
Oh, I'm gonna end on that note.
Guys,
I'm sorry, Jack. I'm sorry.
No, I'm out. I'm done. I can't believe. You know what? Don't even air this.
But please, I think this would be a great way for us to bond. Show me. I don't know. I lost it during Infinity War. Endgame's the last one.
Yes.
Shit.
Sounds like you got some homework to do.
I do.
And there's all the origin stories of all of the characters. There's like 20 movies.
I know. And I want to watch WandaVision. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. You can't watch WandaVision until you watch all
you
the movies.
You did a very popular TikTok with your hair transformation with the WandaVision theme song, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Because I dyed my hair. I thought I was going to do the whole head red, but then I did these nice little blonde accent pieces. I'm actually going on Friday to redo my hair.
You're
going to
do
this again.
Another...
Might do all red.
Forehead TikTok?
Yeah, you know
I'm getting
it.
A haircut tomorrow. It's like goodbye to the blonde. Or it's going to be very, very...
Sparse.
Wow.
Well, Jack Anderson, everybody.
Jack Anderson.
Thank you so much.
Where can they find you, Jack?
God, I'm the worst social media person because my Instagram is Jacqueline Noel. Good luck spelling that. I'm so sorry.
We'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
That was my Instagram. My TikTok is Jack Anderson. What else is there?
YouTube?
Oh, my YouTube, also Jack Anderson, thank God. My TikTok, no, I just said
Twitter?
That.
Your Twitter? Your Snapchat?
My Twitter is Jack_Ander.
We got to get you a publicist immediately.
My Snapchat, who knows what that is? I never use it, so.
Well
good.
Jack Anderson, everybody.
Thank you so much. Woo-hoo.
Amazing.